Mr. President, it's enough. Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow delegates, I'm delighted to be here at our 45th Alliance Party Conference and to see so many of you, both old friends and particularly the many new members we have here with us today. As we gathered here in this room last year, we were exactly 2 months away from the European and local council elections. And we met at a time when speculation was rife that Alliance faced certain meltdown at the polls. Despite those predictions, we went on 2 months later to secure our place in 7 out of the 11 new councils, and with Anna achieving our best ever result in a European election. As we meet again today, there is no one more conscious than I am that our next electoral test is 53 days away. 53 days. 2010 Westminster election does seem like a very long time ago. The euphoria and the elation over what was a major step forward, not just for East Belfast and for Alliance, but for the centre ground of Northern Ireland politics, has perhaps been dulled a little by the seemingly never-ending cycle of crisis and talks at Stormont, the lack of political leadership from the other parties to deliver on decisions made and to challenge their critics rather than be held hostage to them. Not to mention the relentless grind of flags protests, which have poisoned politics here for the last 2 years, in what was a deliberate, reckless and orchestrated attempt by the DUP, aided by the Ulster Unionists, not only to take back East Belfast, but to drag all of Northern Ireland back. So ahead of this Westminster election, let's take some time to remember just how important winning the East Belfast seat was. It set the scene for the Assembly election only a year later, where we not only grew our support but gained the seats necessary to take a position at the executive table by right for the first time. A ministerial post where Stephen Farry has shown what it is to be a responsive, competent and intelligent minister in command of his brief and with the respect of his department and the business community, investing for the skills and talent which will deliver prosperity which we want for all of our people. Being in Westminster is important because it puts us in the position to be a fresh, more progressive voice for East Belfast and for Northern Ireland as a whole. One which promotes evidence-based policies in support of scientific, social and economic progress. One which challenges the anti-European and anti-immigration rhetoric that often fuels racism and xenophobia. One which supports the protection and extension of equality and human rights for the LGBT community, for women and girls, and for other marginalised groups, whether at home or abroad. One which actively supports freedom of religion and belief, including, crucially, the right of freedom from religion. And one which has fought consistently against the burden of the government's cuts agenda being carried by the poorest in our community, whether in or out of work, whether on benefits or not, whilst the tax dodgers, both corporate and individual, seem to escape the same scrutiny and pressure. Being in Westminster is important because it has put us in a position to have a level of access to and influence with government and with the opposition which we have never previously enjoyed, helping us to contribute to and to challenge decisions which directly affect my constituents in East Belfast, but also the people of Northern Ireland as a whole, and allowing us to deliver real change on their behalf. But most of all, it was important because it gave us the opportunity to show that with Alliance, the promises we make pre-election will actually be delivered. We promised to end double jobbing between the Assembly and Westminster, and not only supported legislation to end the process of the forthcoming general election, but we stepped forward ourselves and led the way when I stood down from the Assembly and City Council within weeks of election to Parliament. 5 years on, others are still dragging their heels, their promises to the public broken. We also promised transparency in political donations so that the public can know who makes the large donations to political parties and judge for themselves whether that influences their policies. Not only did I secure a change in legislation, which means that the details of any donation of $7,500 or more made since January 2014 will eventually be published. But we have continued to press, as recently as in Northern Ireland Questions this week, for the immediate lifting of the security exemptions for local parties. Until that secrecy is finally ended, the whiff of corruption will always surround local politics. Furthermore, as with double jobbing, we stepped forward, leading the way and voluntarily publishing our big donors, literally putting our money where our mouth is, whilst others continue to drag their heels, preferring to keep the public in the dark about who funds their parties. We promised in our manifesto that we would support a commitment to invest 7% of our gross national product being enshrined in legislation for international development, and I was there to vote that into law, which took effect last week. Likewise, we followed through on our commitment to support the introduction of plain packaging for tobacco products, and we have delivered. And in the last fortnight, I delivered on our manifesto commitment and our pledge at the Stormont House Agreement to support the devolution of corporation tax to the Assembly, giving them the power, alongside investment in skills and infrastructure, to create the conditions where new jobs and economic growth can flourish. On these and many, many more issues, we have shown that where we make a promise to the electorate, we will deliver on it. Because making promises and keeping promises is the basic contract we make with the people who elect us. But it's also the basic contract we need to be able to make with each other as political parties in government if we're going to be able to deliver more broadly for the people whom we represent. At the end of a week when the willingness or the ability of parties to live up to delivering on their promises has yet again been called into question, we need to remind people that not all politicians are the same. For Alliance and for the people we represent, promises are made to be kept. Talk is cheap. Delivery is what counts. David Ford could not have been clearer back before Christmas when the Stormont House Agreement was signed. This was not a deal, but a deal to do a deal. The real test would be delivery. He was also crystal clear on Christmas Eve when asked specifically whether Sinn Féin's assertion that this deal protected all current and future claimants permanently from being any worse off under welfare reform was correct, that not only was it not what parties had agreed, but that it was not even possible to achieve. No one with a basic grasp of maths could have argued that the pot of money being made available for that transitional period of 5 years to ease the worst effects of the reform plans could stretch to that. Let's be clear. I am not arguing in favour of welfare reform or cuts to the public sector. Far from it. In fact, unlike Sinn Féin, I went to Westminster and I voted against the cuts where it actually matters. But let's be clear, the choice now facing the Assembly is not welfare reform or no welfare reform, cuts to public expenditure or no cuts to public expenditure. The choice we face in Northern Ireland today is this. Do we implement welfare reform with the additional protections and flexibilities we've negotiated? Or do we derail the Assembly and have the Tories implement their reforms with none of those protections? That's the choice. Not one person is better off today than they were before Monday's bombshell. In fact, those reliant on benefits and those who work in the public sector are worse off, as there is now more uncertainty about future funding. We have to live within our budget. That is just reality. So if we are going to find the extra few hundred million pounds which Sinn Féin want to allocate to those additional protections, the question they need to answer is which budgets they're taking the money from. Are we really protecting the vulnerable? Are we really protecting the vulnerable? If we further raid the Department of Justice budget and leave people with fewer police officers, less supervision of those on probation, less access to legal aid, are we really protecting the vulnerable if we reduce investment in mental health, in emergency departments, in the ambulance service, in care packages for those with disabilities or who are elderly and living alone? Are we really protecting the vulnerable if we stop investing in the skills and support that people need to be able to access jobs and employment? And if we deny potential investors and potential entrepreneurs the flow of talent they need to make that investment worthwhile? Surely the best way to protect the vulnerable is to try to address the reality while we have the power to do so. Sinn Féin were convinced until as recently as last week that this was the best deal they could get. They were either very wrong then or they are very wrong now. But while Sinn Féin are undoubtedly to blame for precipitating the current crisis, it is not themselves alone who are in denial about either the gravity of the situation we are in or the reality of what the future will look like, as regardless of the complexion of the next Westminster government, the squeeze on public funds will continue. The SDLP, for example, were happy to posture about opposition to the welfare reform package, safe in the belief that the Stormont House Agreement and the Assembly would survive, as the other parties would drive it through and take the pain on their behalf. However, that cynical politicking has backed them into the unenviable corner, along with the Green Party, of having to either admit that that's what they were playing at or sign the petition of concern. The decision to sign the petition of concern not only blocks the welfare reform bill, but it unpicks every other aspect of the Stormont House Agreement, including the budget voted through only 2 weeks ago, the funding package for dealing with the past, the welfare flexibilities and protections negotiated, the money to fund a voluntary redundancy package for civil servants, and the devolution of corporation tax. However, even more seriously than that, in doing so they could have jeopardised the future of devolution itself. But it is not just those who oppose welfare reform who have been playing fast and loose with reality. All of the other executive parties signed up to a budget deal which requires every minister to find savings and to address the costs of division. And yet every party but Alliance has refused to engage responsibly with the proposals which our ministers are bringing forward to address the cuts to their budgets and to reform public service provision to make it more sustainable for the future. We have seen that, whether it's opposition to desegregating teacher training or a refusal to even engage with David Ford on proposals to increase by a few pounds the cost of firearms licences, a few pounds which would go straight to the PSNI budget to make our streets safer for everyone. Not only will they not face the reality that the budget they agreed means that difficult decisions have to be made, at the same time, they continue to squander your money on personal crusades and vanity projects, whether it's court cases to uphold the gay blood ban with not a scintilla of evidence to justify it, or opening a school with 15 pupils while other schools are struggling with composite classes or face closure. If all of that were not enough, we have the spectacle this week of the Ulster Unionists, who point-blank refused to endorse the Stormont House Agreement, chastising Sinn Féin for failing to deliver it. It would be laughable were it not so serious. Conference, even if the latest crisis can be resolved after the elections, we cannot and should not presume that no damage has been done. This spat is not some private affair being played out quietly in Northern Ireland and having no impact on our international standing. Every time there is a crisis, we need to remember that the international community are watching. International investors are watching. Having hosted a dinner this week for current and potential investors in East Belfast, what is clear is that stability is absolutely critical when it comes to decisions to locate their businesses and invest their money and time here. The tragedy is that with every crisis, a little more of the credibility of the institutions is eroded. A little more of the international goodwill is squandered. A little more opportunity passes us by unrealised. A little more of the patience of the Northern Ireland public is tried. Those who continue to threaten the process should bear in mind the words of Abraham Lincoln: "You cannot escape responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." So in light of all the negativity, the lack of progress, it would surely be easy to despair, to give up on politics, to disengage, to encourage our young people to get their education and get out. Well, let's be clear. I, like many of you in this room and most of those outside of it, am not just disappointed, but I'm frustrated and even angry at the petty squabbling, the lack of leadership, the financial illiteracy, and the lack of general realism which infests the local political debate here. However, that frustration and anger, far from causing me to despair, to give up, to switch off, motivates me to fight all the harder to change the shape of politics here. I could see when I entered politics 15 years ago as an elected representative that change was needed. It was needed in the community I grew up in East Belfast, and it was needed in Northern Ireland. More than that, I recognised that change wouldn't simply happen by itself. If real transformation was to happen, it required each one of us who wanted that change to step forward and make it happen. In the words of Martin Luther King, change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability. So yes, conference, I, like you, get frustrated by the lack of progress, by the wasted opportunities, by the slow pace of change. I don't get frustrated just because it's my own personal view. I do so on behalf of my constituents. I see them every day in my constituency office, facing unemployment, facing homelessness, facing educational disadvantage, facing paramilitary control of their communities, facing the daily struggles to make ends meet, and looking for hope and leadership to make life better for them. So when I get angry on their behalf. Let's remember the Good Friday Agreement will be 17 years old this Easter. It was supposed to be a new dawn in politics, an opportunity for our local politicians to take the reins and make politics matter. 17 years. There are people who were not even born when it was signed who are now working. And yet, thanks to the immaturity of some of our political leaders, the process isn't. Instead of a voluntary redundancy package for the civil servants, maybe what we need is a compulsory redundancy package for some of those politicians. But conference, I refuse to give in to a council of despair which says that Northern Ireland can't change, because I'm surrounded by people in this party who over many years have delivered that change. People who, in coming together with unity of purpose, despite the diversity of their backgrounds, demonstrate that it has already changed. And people who, by their continuing commitment, are making sure that it continues to change for the better for everyone. This week I returned to City Hall to mark the end of the current Belfast City Council. Former Lord Mayors gathered to reflect on that period, and for the first time, all of our Alliance Lord Mayors and our current Deputy Lord Mayor were together, and we gathered on the rotunda for a photograph. Standing with David Cook, the first ever non-unionist Lord Mayor of Belfast, with David Alderdice, who led the Alliance Group and the city through the challenge of making the morality fully inclusive of people from all political traditions in the city, with Tom Eakin, who drove the Good Relations Partnership to address not only sectarianism, but the wider challenges of full inclusion of all our people, regardless of their race, colour, class, creed, gender, sexuality or disability. I am reminded of not just how far the council and indeed the city of Belfast has come since the 1970s, but the extent of the influence which Alliance has wielded in delivering that transformation. Also in that lineup was Maura Hendren, and I want to pay a special tribute to Maura today. A well-loved founder member of this party, she will be the last Deputy Lord Mayor of the current Belfast City Council, and the only one to serve as part of an all-female team, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and Chief Executive. She has chaired the Good Relations Partnership for 5 years, one of a long line of Alliance councillors to do so, guiding the council and the city through sensitive debates about memorabilia, commemoration and cultural diversity and inclusion in a divided society. Maura has served as Alliance Group Leader over the last 6 years, leading our team through the firestorm of the flags protests with the characteristic grace and courage which we have come to expect from her and from Jim. We have come to expect it, but we should never take it for granted. I want to thank you, Maura, I want to thank you for your service to the people you represent in East Belfast, for your service to this party, to the City Council, and the wider people of Belfast. And I want, and I know I speak on behalf of all of us, to wish you and Jim every blessing as your year in office draws to a close. Thanking Maura, I also want to thank all of our councillors, past and present, those whose terms will draw to a close with the transfer of powers to the new councils, for the investment which each of you has made in building a shared future for everyone in Northern Ireland. And I want to wish every success to each of our councillors who are taking up the reins in the new councils to shape them for the future. Because individual contributions, individual actions can and do make a real difference. I understand that people, particularly in Northern Ireland, particularly right now, are weary of politics, of promises unfulfilled. They are not only sceptical that change can happen, but also that their choices and actions can influence that change. But I know that it can. I am the living proof that if individuals change how they vote, in even the safest of seats, we can see change. Folks, you will get the leadership you vote for. We each have the power. We each have the power to change things, to shape a better future. It lies within every single one of us. In another part of my constituency, only a few miles from the unravelling process at Stormont, we saw a glimpse this week of what success for Northern Ireland can look like. Titanic Belfast won a major tourism award, beating off competition from other locations such as the London Eye and the Eiffel Tower. Its success shows that Northern Ireland is still capable of being world-beating when we have the vision, the ambition, the creativity and the imagination to conceive of truly inspiring and grand projects, and crucially, the courage and determination to actually deliver on the promise. For me, the real power in the Titanic story is not the tragedy of its maiden voyage, but the fact that Belfast built a ship which was the largest, the most luxurious and the most innovative of its time, a world-beating feat of engineering. And it is that triumph which can be an inspiration for our future, not just in East Belfast, but across Northern Ireland. Generations of my constituents, indeed my own family, were drawn to East Belfast with the promise of work in the world's largest and best shipyard. Today, whilst the nature of employment has changed, on that same site, Titanic Quarter is still offering real opportunity. Whether it's education in Belfast Met, innovation at the Northern Ireland Science Park, tourism at Titanic Belfast, the heritage assets of the Slipway and Pump House, creative industries in the Paint Hall Studios, high-tech engineering and computing in the many software and IT companies, renewable energy at Harland & Wolff, or the many, many other employment opportunities that exist in Titanic Quarter, East Belfast and Northern Ireland can again be world leaders. At that dinner with investors earlier this week, the message we heard time and time again is that our main asset in attracting investment and growing our economy to be world-beating in the future is the same asset that made it possible in the past, our people. It is the talent, ingenuity, skills, resilience, dedication and determination of our people, which sets us apart from other potential investment locations, and it is that which we need to focus on and invest in if we are to regain our place on the world stage. Those conversations brought to mind the Yardman statue by Ross Wilson on the Newton Arch Road in East Belfast, which depicts the men who worked in the shipyard. One of the really fascinating things about that sculpture is that there is a small replica of the Titanic hidden on each one of the figures. To me, this speaks of the greater truth of the Titanic story, that there was a little bit of that world-beating greatness in everyone who worked on that ship. And I believe that there is a bit of that same greatness and aspiration in each of the people I represent in East Belfast today. Our job in Alliance is to create the opportunities and the conditions in which that greatness can flourish, to create the conditions where people can not only aspire to better, but can achieve it. But those conditions cannot be created unless our focus is forward and not back. It is that ambitious leadership that I want for the people I represent in East Belfast and for Northern Ireland as a whole, the kind of leadership which they only get from Alliance. That is the choice we are offering the people of Northern Ireland in just 53 days from now. Forward with Alliance towards a shared, stable and more prosperous future for all of our people, or back to division, instability, to the politics of fear and mistrust that others revel in. Conference, I'm asking you, give us those 53 days. Let's go out and offer the people who are frustrated a real alternative to disillusionment and disengagement, the chance to shape their future for the better. The power will literally be in their hands in 53 days' time as they make their choices at the ballot box. I ask each of you, step forward with me. Step forward with Alliance. Help us to deliver another massive step forward, not just for East Belfast, but for the people of Northern Ireland. Thank you. I now have the great honour to call on a man who is not just the longest serving party leader in Northern Ireland, but one who has led this party to unprecedented levels of success. This is his 25th year of service to Alliance. Conference, I ask you please give a very warm welcome to our party leader and to the Justice Minister of Northern Ireland, David Ford.